absence of a reference numbering system, the English reader may easily translate any word back to the original Hebrew, Chaldean, or Greek in which God's word was written. The Companion Bible is a unique study Bible. In addition to the text of the King James Version Bible, an extra wide margin contains a wealth of information not found in other Bibles. A system of structures or outlines employed by the Companion Bible will allow the readers to rightly divide the Bible. The use of these structures help the reader follow the subject matter, and therefore they are critical to an understanding of God's Word. The 198 appendixes found in the Bible cover a wide variety of topics and information which will enlighten your studies. The Companion Bible and Strongest Concordance are a must for the serious Bible student.
All right, the subject today is greediness. You know, many times people, we have a way of, in the linguistic sense, of letting words in the English change values. And I think that greed is one of the words that we've allowed that to happen to. And I think it can slow a family down if they're not real careful. Greed has nothing to do with success, prosperity, and plenty. As long as you make it yourself, as long as it is God's blessings upon your family. Someone might say, that old boy is just land greedy. He just keeps buying land. Hey, more power to him. As long as he's not ripping somebody off to take advantage of them, and he's earning it, way to go. Because the word greediness, actually the meaning as it is used in the scripture, means a simplistic way of saying it would be to rip off a bunch of people. It's fraud. It means fraudulent practices. It means extortion. It's where somebody wants something somebody else has and they're going to beat them out of it, whatever the cost. So don't ever let your zealousness for God or your family stand in the way of you getting ahead, and don't let some one of these would-be scholars say Christians ought to be poor. Well, that's just not biblical, all right? How can you be poor and have God's blessing? Now, it's because of, again, linguistics, I think, in a sense, because the meek inherit the earth. What does meek actually mean? It means humble, to be humble before God, not your enemy necessarily. So we just kind of play with words. Words take on different meanings, and if you're not careful, they can shape and formulate your life. Hey, you're a child of God. God owns the world. He loves you. He's proud of you. Go for it. Okay? Sky's the limit. But do it honestly. Not fraudulently. And certainly not to extort or to want something someone else has. The Greek word most often used, especially in the Pauline scriptures, is the Greek word leonexia, which basically that's the formation, that's the foundation, that's the prime of the word greed. You'll have it used, there'll be another Greek word or two which simply means in a negative sense, but as we use greed today, or greediness, basically, that's what it amounts to. And there's one little small mistake in your Strong's. So be sharp whenever you do research on that word. Sad to say that, but it's true. I didn't make a note of it, or I could almost say it, but I might throw you off worse than what you can find out for yourself. So enough said. That word is a fantastic word because it's mentioned most often not as greediness, but it's translated covetousness. Okay? It can mean property, material things, or it can have a sexual connotation or use as well. We will be dealing with the materialistic, basically, today, and you can kind of fill in the gaps from there. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Ephesians, and we're going to pick the word up there. You remember, Paul, writing this letter to the Ephesians, let's pick it up, if we may, in the 14th verse. He had come down on them a little bit, and he's telling them those things that God really likes, those things that God really likes. Let's pick it up with verse 14, if we may. And he's talking about the gifts that some people are given as pastors, as evangelists, and so forth. Verse 14, chapter 4, book of Ephesians, and it reads, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You don't really want to be in that category, do you? You don't want to be tossed to and fro. You don't want to be kicked around or misused. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Do you know how to decipher a doctrine? That is to say, understand it and know when someone is falsely using you. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people in all professions, even the ministry, that will use you if they have are given the opportunity. Who is to prevent them? You are. You're to be wise enough in our Father's Word to know when someone is misusing you. Verse 15 of chapter 4, Ephesians. But speaking the truth in love, that's what a real person of God, whether it's a lay person or a minister, speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. They will speak, deal, and live truly. They're not going to extort anything from anyone. They're not going to take advantage of anyone. They're going to make their own way in Christ's way. And do you know something? That's the only true successful way. It truly is to know that our Heavenly Father blesses those children that love Him and that follow Him. They are successful and they will prosper if they meet those conditions of our Heavenly Father. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Now think about that statement. Every joint is supposed to supply something. You may be someone that just has a tremendous amount of faith. And when there is someone ill or something else, you can walk in a room and it makes a difference because you have that faith. And it may be your gift of whatever, teaching, caring, taking care of. It takes the whole body, all right, to fit together jointly. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. What does the word edifying mean? It means to edit, to correct. You know, we correct ourselves through God's Word. If we're doing something wrong, He'll clearly let you know if He finds it displeasing. Because, why? If He finds what you're doing is displeasing, He cuts off your blessings. And you may get on a poor me baby trip when He does and so forth. But who caused it? You did. We have to be alert and sensitive to the love of our Father and His teachings, the very doctrine that Christ brought to us, not the doctrine of men. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, what happens when you say their mind? It's man's mind, not Christ's mind. You're not part of the body of Christ if you're making your own rules. You are, please understand, you are to practice discernment. That is good from that is bad. That is evil from that is good. How do you discern that? By experience through the teachings of Christ. But not your own mind. Men's minds are what cause and bring about traditions of men that make void the Word of God. So stick with the joint, that body that is fit jointly together in this word, this letter that He has written to you. Showing you, guiding you, directing you, telling you how to accomplish these things. 18 rather. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, their mind. Not heart. All your heart is a muscle that pumps blood and so forth. Your brain does the thinking, and it should be translated mind. Be very careful and be on guard for that. It will, through the ways of man, bring, which is what? Ignorance. It's not a bad word. It just simply means they don't know. But that's no excuse, because He has written you a letter to teach you that is right. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. And there's that word greediness, the Greek word that I spoke of. It means to extort, to defraud, just to be an outright crook. Okay? That's what greed truly is. It's not to want something for yourself necessarily, but it's to want something that rightfully and legally belongs to someone else. And you're going to rip them off for it. Con artists. Let's get it on. Hey, beware of them. And that has to do with religion or whatever the case may be. They're always out there. They have that greed seemingly sowed within their mind. And they can't help themselves. But you can help them by not letting them take advantage of you. I mean, you are a Christian. You're a child of God. You are not ignorant. You are intelligent in the Word of God. Therefore, utilize the Word of God to discern fitly, correctly, how it should be in your life, okay? So there we have the word greediness used there in the English, which we could lose a great deal if we didn't know the value of the word pleonexia, which is to say that fraudulent exercise of extortion that they like to bring upon you. God considers that to be a sin. And naturally, inasmuch as it is mentioned here, one of the greater sins is why? Why does God consider an extortioner or someone that would go around defrauding? You're His children. How does it make you feel if somebody defrauds one of your children? You don't like it. It makes you angry. Well, it does God too. He doesn't, and kind of, I suppose, if you've trained your child and that child allows someone to con him, it disappoints you a little bit too. So see that nobody cons you. See that nobody, there are sharpies out there that would just love to take advantage of you. Well, I thought Christians were supposed to be forgiving. They're supposed to be forgiving, but they're not supposed to be stupid. Okay? Only, forgiveness doesn't have anything to do with keeping someone from taking advantage of you. Don't you see my point? It's that cut and dried. I do not understand the frame of mind, and I suppose that's why I teach this type of letter, this lecture, occasionally on one word. Because it gets a little twisted. And Christians kind of even have a way of putting themselves on a guilt trip over the word greed. to think, boy, I'd like to have another, should have another job. And some people would brand you greedy because you work two jobs, and maybe it's because you got a sick baby. That's not greed. Greed is to rip somebody else off. It's not to exercise your strength and authority to succeed. Nothing wrong with that. Go for it. And don't apologize to anyone for it. Go for it. You don't owe anyone an apology. God blesses you, and it's not greed on your part. So I suppose that's one of the reasons I like to pick up a word like this, and let's just clarify. Let's get an understanding whereby we clearly understand what it is our Father wishes us to do is to react to life. Because, you know, living in these flesh bodies, you must react to actual life every day. You have to react to whatever action you come up against. And the wiser you accomplish those things is how well you're informed in our Father's Word to succeed, okay? Let's go right on to the next chapter there, the fifth chapter, if we may, in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to take a little different view here. Chapter 5, the great book of Ephesians, verse 1, and it reads, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Now don't read over that either. You're supposed to follow God as a pastor. You're supposed to follow God as an electrician. That isn't what it said. You're supposed to follow God as dear children. He is our Father, and don't you ever forget it. I don't care what your position is. Verse 2, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." For the one and all times, he loved you enough that he gave himself for you. You know why? Knowing that none of us were sweet enough to make that savor before God, which is simply one way of saying, we're not good enough. He was. He was perfect. Every time we have stumbled and fallen short, he made it. He succeeded. And in Christ, so will you. But again, what was the first thing coming out the gate? Relate to him as a dear child, okay? For I don't care how old you get, he's still your Father, and you follow him as a little child, because I don't care how much you think you know, or I might think I know. We haven't even scratched the surface of the mind of our Father, okay? So he proved his love by allowing Emmanuel, God with us, to make that sweet sacrifice. Verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness." This word covetousness is the exact same Greek word that was utilized as in the prior chapter in verse 19 as greediness. Same word, okay? Same word as that greediness. Don't cleanliness or covetousness, that means a ripoff artist. "Let it not be once named among you as become a saint." Hey, he doesn't like it. You can't call yourself a saint if you're a crook. And I really don't know what else to call someone that's a coveter other than a crook in whatever field they're covetous in, whether be whatever, okay? Just outright crook, taking something from somebody else that it is not rightfully theirs. That's what the word means. So, Pastor so-and-so told me it's just people that are too proud of what they already own. Wrong. It has nothing to do with what you already own. It has to do with what somebody's going to rip somebody off from. So let's keep our subject straight, and let's keep our language straight, whereby the Word of God carries well. Okay? Verse 4. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting," that means, "which are not convenient," that means not proper, or befitting for the moment, but rather giving of thanks. You know, if you spend a little time thanking God for your blessings, your children, what a blessing. What a blessing in your family. What a blessing, if nothing else, the very air we breathe. And what kind of a blessing to have a body of Christians that seek God's truth. Boy, that's a blessing to have someone you can talk to that understands our Father's Word. That is just such a relief, and it's so fantastic. We've got so very much to be thankful for. I know that some of us are scattered real thin, but God plants us where we're needed. He puts His elect where He wants them. It's no accident. It happened that way for a purpose. He has a reason for you, so keep alert, okay? And at the same time, do gather whenever you can. That's what it's for. It's whereby you can fellowship with like minds and fitting jointly into that wonderful body. Verse 5, for this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. Now this word comes from the prime, extortion, defraud. Don't let a defrauder. Do you know what he calls it? Who is an idolater. Now think about that a moment. We're going to talk about it. What is covetousness got to do with idolatry? Well, I'll tell you in a moment. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. They just don't have any part. He won't allow them in. So there's no place for them. Why would he say that a covetous man was an idolater? Because that's his God. That's all he thinks about is ripping somebody off. He dreams about it at night. Wonder how I can do old Jim out of his Cadillac. Well, you know, it's just, how can I trick him? This goes on in the minds of these people. So that is their idol, is ripping people off, taking advantage. That's what even the word means, to take unfair advantage, maybe of someone's good nature. Don't let it happen to you. You know, sometimes you might befriend someone and they might disappoint you. Fine, one time. You learned. After that, then it's not their fault, it's yours if you put up with it, if you don't discern. And he'll tell us in a moment what we're supposed to do with people like that, okay? I don't want you to miss the point. Someone that is of that nature has no part in the kingdom of God. They are not part of your family. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. He's jealous. He doesn't like it if someone tries to take advantage or deceives his children. That's one reason why if anyone ever sets themselves up as a teacher of God's word, they got a lot to answer for. Because God doesn't like people that mislead His children. Why? He loves them very much. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't you ever pile on. Well, I could pick up a few bucks here maybe. Not if it's crooked, you couldn't. It'll cost you 100-fold more than you'll pick up in a crooked way. 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. You were blind at one time to this, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, you know better now. Stop it. Verse 9, and don't get on a guilt trip. Once it's over, it's over. It's done. Get a life with Christ, a life with light. 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Do you know how to test the fruit? If you're not sure, that's the way. One way you discern. If it isn't sweet, if it isn't befitting, it's sour grapes, friend. It shouldn't take you that long to learn. Once you get bit, don't get bit again. Okay? Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's why you test the fruit. That's why that you watch what you do. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What is it you're to do? Reprove them. That means expose them when it's possible. Expose it. And to in exposing, you bring light upon it, and what happens? It dispels, the same as if you took a candle into a dark room. Crookedness or deceitfulness must be kept a lie to take advantage of people. Once you call their attention to what's happening to them, then no one's going to fool them again. Hopefully. We always are trusting souls, aren't we? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But never let someone disappoint you twice. Okay? You understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about family here necessarily. Some of you got family that's disappointed you a lifetime, and God bless them, they're still blood. Hey, sorry you got stuck with them, but you did. Be sweet and kind to your family. That's great. They'll always come through for you sooner or later, hopefully, all right? Because they're yours. God gave them to you, so hang on to them. Make the best of it and love them, all right? Family's fantastic. If you can't talk religion with them, don't talk religion. Just treat them as a brother or a sister, mother, father, whatever, aunt, uncle, and love them for it, all right? You know, that's God didn't say, I want you to go out right now and convert all uncles. Boy, would we be in for it. Okay. Our own, you know. Because the prophet is without honor among his own in the first place. Okay. So you would have the, am I digressing? Maybe not. I don't know. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Hey, some of the conniving and planning they do, it happens in churches also. There are churches that begin conniving to rip people off in July for Christmas. What kind of letter can we send or gimmick can we get? We always cry out, they forget us. Let me tell you something, as a pastor of a very large ministry, December is the best month of the year, most usually. So don't get sucked in by this. Everybody's forgot about us. They're greedy. And they're after your money. And they're thinking of ways to get it. Hey, you were warned about that in God's Word also, okay? Again, I would just say one of those things that makes me so very popular among our Christian brethren, God doesn't send out beggars, okay? And that makes me so popular that I get letters from pastors all the time about what a wonderful job I'm doing teaching God's Word, okay? Wow. I just like to make them happy. I'm winning friends and influencing people. Okay? Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, that means brought to the light, by the light, for whatsoever doth manifest is light. You know, anything that brings something into the light is light. Why? Because it lights it. All right? 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Those that are spiritually dead, wake up to the truth. Get alive, all right? And arise from the dead, spiritually dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's just automatic. When you get into his letter, you begin to shed light upon other people. 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. And what makes you wise? God's light, which is to say the Word. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What after reading that verse, what can you count on when you go out tomorrow into the world? The days are evil. It's out there. Don't let it fool you or surprise you or slip up on you. It's out there. Now that's not to say you have to be afraid of it. But at least be wise and don't let someone use wickedness against you. 17 to complete from in this chapter. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Do you understand the whole thing hinges on that? You must understand what the will or the plan of God is. That's what you find from the letter. That's what the light is the will of God. For if you are pleasing your Father, He's going to bless you. He's going to, you know, you're going to be going down the road of life, and there's a big boulder going to jump out in front, and He's going to kick it out of the road, and you're going to sail on through, whereas some person that isn't, some poor me baby that's on a guilt trip is going to stumble and fall over it. Okay? I believe that with all my heart, because I know from my own life it is true that God blesses those that love Him, and so it is. There is no little small church in Northwest Arkansas could be buying hourly time, hour after hour, on over 285 television stations in this hemisphere if they weren't pleasing God. That is more money than I even like to think about. But God provides for those that please Him. And certainly you're pleasing Him, or we would not be this successful. He blesses those that go according to His will, okay? Now, okay, let's back up, if we may, to 1 Corinthians, the book or so right before old Ephesians here, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And of course you all remember this is where Christ became our Passover. And we're going to pick it up there, if we may, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where it is stated. What was going on here? And let me bring you up to speed in case you're not real familiar with this. There was some incest taking place here in this area. And a young man was living with his father's wife, or one of them, or whatever the case might be. It isn't really written whether it was a stepmother or what, or mother. But anyway, Paul's writing about this, okay, and he's saying, hey, this won't cut it, all right? Now, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that's the old way, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ became our Passover. 8, therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When you study your Father's Word, put the old man off as best you can and listen. Open your mind. That means also put off all the traditions you've ever heard and concentrate and focus on your Father's Word. This is what throws people in a rut. As a teacher, I can guarantee you that. There will be people following you along and all of a sudden they'll quote something that they know is in God's Word. And when you say, show me, they'll say, well, it's in there. And you'll say, no, it isn't. You're quoting traditions. It shocks them. But they hear it over and over until it becomes biblical to them when it's absolutely a lie. Now, that's really what God's talking about in this greediness. There's people wanting to make a religion. When we've got all we'll ever need in reality, and that is to say, Christ, okay? Verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with the fornicators. Where did he write that? We just read it, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, okay, or somewhere along there, verse 10. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous. with the ripoff artists, with the defrauders, or extortioners. There you go. There you got a second, kind of a second word to back it. Or with idolaters, because if someone is an extortioner or is a ripoff artist, that is their god and that's their idol. For then must ye needs go out of the world. I want to read that again. Yet not altogether stop associating with them. Got it? With the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Because there's just not many places in this world you're not going to bump into them. That's what he wants you to know from it, all right? He's talking about don't socialize with them, all right? That's what he's talking about. We are here to correct them, to shine a light on them, but don't socialize with them. That means if you party with them, guess what? Okay, and I don't mean, you know, you have to use your own discernment and so forth, but I guess there's an old saying here in Arkansas, if you sleep with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Okay, well, that's kind of the way it goes, all right? 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. In other words, don't be around them all the time. Why? It's going to rub off on you if you do, possibly. Unless you're a very strong person, all right? We have a way that, well, just a little change won't hurt. Well, it might if you go far enough, okay? For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? In other words, you exercise Christian discipline. You don't have to judge. God is judge. But you can discern. You know when somebody's trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let them. Wake up. Get a life. Don't be spiritually dead, because that's what Satan is ultimately trying to draw you back into. But them that are without, God judges. He's going to judge the extortioner. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. And of course, I introduced as we started this why he wrote that particular chapter, because of that incestuous affair that was taking place there in it. Now we're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, third book in that old New Testament, and see what one of the Gospels have to say about covetousness, about greed, okay? I want to bring you up to speed what Christ has just finished teaching about. He was talking about Corban, which is a Greek word that means if it's for the church, you can let your old parents starve. If we were to update that all the way to today, it would be you can take your old parents' Social Security checks and give them to the church. As long as it's coming to the church, it's okay. That's what Corban is, and it was a practice that was going on then, and I suppose in some cases, according to some TV evangelists, it still is, you know. Give everything you got to the church and God will bless you. Really, you know. That isn't biblical, all right? You know, you're supposed to give your part, but that's it. All right, now, okay, so where were I going to start in this? That's the subject. We're going to start in verse 14, all right? Verse 14 of chapter 7, great book of Mark, I'm sorry. All right. And having just taught what I said about Corban, because they were misusing and mistreating their mothers and fathers, all right? So that having just been said, Jesus continues with verse 14, Mark 7. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. You listen closely. Focus. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you can be anywhere and hear anything into your mind, and forget about food as we're going through this, though it does apply, it's used as an analogy. I want to concentrate on your mind, okay? Nothing you hear can bother you, that's coming in, okay? Why? Because you're not going to absorb it if it isn't true. You're going to cull it. You're going to put it off to the side, all right? That's what you're supposed to do, and if you've got ears to hear, you know what I'm saying. 17. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. 18. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Don't you get it? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? In other words, they can mark 666 all over you, and it doesn't change what your mind thinks about Christ. You got it? That's important. 19. Because it entereth not into his heart. Translate heart. What? Mind. It doesn't enter into his mind as truth, but into the belly that goeth out into the drawth, purging all meats. In other words, that can't hurt him, but what goes into your mind can. It can hurt you a bunch because they're messing around with your beliefs, the very center of your soul. 20. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. That then that a man puts out from his mind. You think false teaching won't defile a man? You're kidding yourself if you think it won't. I'd hate to be in his shoes. I really would. That's why I pray long and hard before I teach. And I do a lot of research, documenting, redocumenting, checking, rechecking. And God help me, if I ever make a mistake, it will be in ignorance, okay? Because I do a lot of research to make certain that I'm reporting what the Word actually relates. Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, out of the mind of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, 22, thefts, covetousness, rip-off artists, defrauders, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, that's envy, which is a sister, evil eye is a sister to covetousness, rip-off, defrauders, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. I think it's important that you think on that a moment. Perhaps an oversimplification, you might say, but really it's very serious, beloved. It didn't come from God. Got it? It didn't come from God. It comes from the mind of men. Traditions that make void the Word of God come out of the mind of men. And if it is a preacher and he is a covetous person, he's going to rip you off, try to take your soul to be, I don't want to say a servant to him, but a servant to his teaching. And that's pretty serious. God doesn't like it. So, how do you avoid that then? You teach God's Word, not what comes out of your mind. After much study and discerning. And as a lay person, how does that affect you? You listen and you discern and practice discernment. Is to knowing what is from God and what's out of the mind of men. Well, how do I know if it's out of the mind of a man? It's not in God's Word. He's not teaching it. It's some custom, some tradition. And if they tell you you've got to do it, you want to be very careful because you might be displeasing Almighty God to great lengths. So discerning in your own mind. In other words, what have we said here? Your own mind can hurt you if you allow it to listen to trash. By that I mean false teachings, false practices, being around those people we forementioned. Your own mind can destroy you. I'll use an analogy that's very appropriate for this day. You might say, well, I have good friends and they're Christian and they use drugs. I just love drugs. Well, and surely it won't hurt. Well, it will. It'll fry your mind. And you'll start losing things. You'll lose your car, your job first. And then pretty soon, your mate. And if you're not real careful, pretty soon your life. Where did it come from? Mind. So your mind can destroy you if you allow it to absorb junk of any form. Well, how do I know? God's Word. His plan. Don't be around covetous that's rip off people, whether they're spiritual, in daily life, or whatever the case. Don't let people use you. Or maybe I'd better say misuse you, okay? We all like to be good neighbors and helpful, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that because what goes around comes around, okay? You know what I'm talking about, okay? That good neighbors, if your neighbor goes on vacation and says, would you watch my house? You have a paid guard because you're going to pay him back because when, vice versa, whichever I said, when you go on vacation, he's going to watch yours or vice versa, okay? That's even Stephen, you know. That's good neighbors. Well, you know, you do be helpful that way, but don't let someone take advantage of you. Now I'm going to rephrase that. I got crossed up. Helping a neighbor is not allowing yourself to be deceived. That's simply trade out, okay? That in family or whatever the case may be. But your mind can be your worst enemy if you let it run loose and free without controlling it, without using it properly. Because your mind is what? Your thought process is your spirit. I said, it's your spirit, the intellect of your soul. So you can destroy your soul if you're not real careful, allowing the intellect or the thought process to run shoddy. Now, we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians this time, back just about where we were. 2 Corinthians, and pick up just a little different thought on this. We're going to go to chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. Always when you're researching, go to the root. Find out what's behind this word. What is the main thing I can get hurt by it? Well, I think we've pretty well covered it. But be that as it may. Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, verse 9. For to this end, or for this reason also did I write, that I might know the proof of you. He was testing them. He wanted them to get their act together so he didn't have to chew on them when he got there, basically, okay? Whether ye be obedient in all things. Verse 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. In other words, in the stead of Christ or in the service of Christ. Christ's teachings, Christ's word, we're supposed to forgive. Forgiveness is a precious thing. But that doesn't mean you're going to forget, okay? Forgiveness doesn't mean forget, because that's the law of survival in your body. Okay? And somebody must win back trust. You can forgive, but they must earn back trust, and time takes care of all things, okay? So forgiveness keeps you from being stung, okay? forgetfulness, rather, to remember keeps you from getting stung. You're on guard. Here's why we came here, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us through your what? Your mind, of course. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I'm going to hold a little contest here, in a way, with your minds. What would you guess, knowing my method of teaching, what would you think that that word get an advantage is in the Greek? Okay? You know I've pronounced it two or three times. It's the same word as greediness. It's the same, you got it. It's the same word as covetousness. He's the chief coveter. He's the chief one that plans how to take advantage of you. Do you let him? Don't. He works at it a lot, especially if you're one of God's elect. He wants you bad. Real bad. And he's got more hours in the day to plan against you than you do to defend against him. He wants to take advantage of you. He wants to use you. He wants your mind. For what? To destroy it. Absolutely. He's destroyed. He wants to destroy you along with him. So, of course, the word translated advantage here is in the Greek, pleonexia. Okay. Covetousness. Greediness. That's Satan. And many people make that an idol, and it is a disgrace, and it is a shame. Okay. Now, to complete this lecture, I want to take you way on back past Hebrews to 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter. We're just going to take a verse or two here, but I think it's important, and then we're going to close. 2 Peter chapter 2. Now here we're going to get down to teachers, all right? Teachers, especially in this generation, you got to be careful. You watch this man, any woman that might be teaching, you have one governor to check them out, and that's the Word of God. And don't you ever fail to use it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them," apalia, okay, "and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Boy, I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be teaching some of the things that are being taught and have to answer for it soon. I hope it isn't ignorance. At least they'll have an opportunity to be corrected. Verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Do you know something? If you simply teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse on national television in America or the world today, you're going to be evil spoken of. It will be lies, but they will make lies up about you that you wouldn't believe. The scripture is true. It always goes down that way. So that's why God doesn't choose too many wimps. Okay? Now, wimp doesn't mean you're Bill Braun or old combat veterans like in the Marine Corps, such as myself. Braun meaning spiritual brawn. Hey, can do. And I imagine little old Deborah wasn't a very big woman. But, oh, did she carry a big stick when she judged Israel. If you think my two before is big, you're kidding yourself, all right? Spiritually speaking, all right, be strong. You can afford to be. There are many false teachers. Do they mean to be? Again, I leave that to God to judge, because only he can read minds. But people are being misled, all right? And you will be spoken of for simply teaching God's Word. There are cases where we even have to pay. If we say, If I teach God's word and it offends a certain group, I have to pay for television time for them to answer me. Did you realize that? It's true. I don't want to buy them any more time, so I'm not going to tell you what it is right now at this time, because that camera right there is looking at me. Okay, verse 3. And through covetousness, there's that word, isn't it? You know what it means. Through covetousness shall they with feigned words, that means formed fabrications, made up traditions, feigned words, make merchandise of you. That's what it can actually come to. Do you want to be a slave to them? They want to sell you out. Oh, dear brother, I've never heard a church do it. Send all your money and God will take care of you. Okay. This is the year 2000. Write me a check for $2,000 and God will bless you. Now, I've heard those words myself on television, friend, and just I was ashamed and could almost cry for the unlearned in this nation. They will make merchandise out of you. They will sell you into Satan's camp, who wants nothing better than to take advantage of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Don't worry, God's not asleep. He hears, he knows. For if God spared not the angels that sin, that's the fallen angels, Nephilim, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Book of Jude, you're familiar with it. 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, not lies, not covetousness, but righteousness. What is righteousness? It's that that's right by God's word, common sense. Bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God, he said, don't think God doesn't know what's happening. He does, because he destroyed those in the flood that were practicing this sort of thing. And there's going to be a flood again. The only thing is, it's a flood of Satan's lies that's being poured out right now. And you can read of it in Revelation chapter 12, but it will be more so when he is cast onto this earth in the very near future as spurious Messiah. Oh, will the lies fly then? Friend, you haven't seen anything yet. You better be preparing yourself mentally for it. What comes out of your mind can make you or break you. See that you know and understand the plan of God and stick with it. Focus on it. You're going to have people come along and tell you, oh, you should really pay attention to this. And, oh, you should really make a deep study of that. And you should really be aware. And you've got time and mind enough that can. But don't let someone pull you off with garbage. It can happen. Well, it seems so intelligent and complicated. Let me tell you something. That's one of the first signs of hypocrisy. Because Christ taught in simplicity, common sense, down to earth. That's why so many terms in agriculture are used, so that laypersons could understand. Don't let someone play with your mind. But it sounded so religious. If it isn't biblical, it's trash. Okay? They're playing with your mind. Be very careful in this generation especially. Defrauders, extortioners, right in the church even. I'll say it. I'm not ashamed to say it, because they are. You've got a lot of good churches, and we all hold up for them and say, praise God, if you got one, support it all the way. But if you got a bad one, don't even wish them Godspeed, or as it is written in the second epistle of John, you become a partaker of their evil deeds because you're supporting it. Be careful. Don't let people play with your mind. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for these that are here today. Be with everyone as they travel, Father. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study today at the same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. Thank you.
book of Deuteronomy.